Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. Today we begin our third segment in our study in the book of Revelation. As we have already spoken, we talked about the introductory section of that, which included a background of the book. It also included a character reference of Revelation and its uniqueness, and it also included the interpretation. The four broad interpretations of the book of Revelation. Today we're going to begin actually in the book itself. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 is what is called the prologue of the book. And so before we get started there, let's have a prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the medium you've given us that we can actually share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with one another through this medium. We pray that as we continue our study in the book of Revelation, that you will anoint us with your spirit in such a way that we will be blessed and therefore be a blessing to others. We praise you. We love you, Father God. You are our Father in heaven. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your Spirit, which helps us discern rightly what it is we'll study here today. We give you all the glory, all the praise, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin the prologue of the book of Revelation, we need to consider some things. One of the things is, and it's pretty evident as you study the book of Revelation, that it is one of the scariest books in all the Bible. Of all the 66 books of the Bible, Revelation takes that particular position. And it is a book. If you look at some of the things that would kind of give you some indication of how scary it is, one of them is imagining yourself. Imagine yourself for a moment being at home. Then all of a sudden, your home is shaken to the very core. It is broken apart into like splinters. And then there's this devastating earthquake. A little bit frightening, I would say. Then can think about this. You're in a building. It's a bomb shelter. And there's explosions going on all around you, deafening explosions, not just any kind of explosions. And there's this smoke that's, when you breathe it, it just sears your lungs, it burns your lungs until you can't even stand it. And then the result is a blistering fire upon your skin and your body. Imagine this, the horrors of plagues as you see friends and family fall sick and die. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something we're dealing with here in May of 2020? Imagine strange creatures descending from the sky and settling over the whole earth, killing people by hundreds, killing people by the thousands. Imagine experiencing not just one of these, but all of them at the very same time. Unbelievable, unprecedented in our current world, the way we think. We are devastated by just local news and someone dying from an accident or a disease or being murdered. Yet these things that Revelation talk about is much more than any of that. But we also need to be mindful that the book of Revelation is a book that brings comfort as well. Consider this and see if it doesn't reassure you, see if it doesn't exhilarate you. It most certainly does me when I read it. Picture a time when there will be no old earth but a new earth. Picture a time where there will be no old heaven but a new heaven. How about that? Picture a time when God will dwell with humanity and there will be universal peace and an end to all sorrow. Oh my goodness. I can't imagine that. Picture a time when Jesus will wipe away every tear from your eye, and there will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. But it is a book that is hard to understand, but it's impossible to forget. It is irrelevant, and it is relevant today as it was the day it was written. And it is important for us even in this 21st century. It is vibrant, it is alive, and it is profoundly applicable to the times in which we live. If you think about the Bible as a whole, you think about maybe the 66 books of the Bible, and you think of them maybe as a shelf of books you might have at home, and you got one book on the left side and one book on the right side and all the books in the middle. The bookends of the Bible is not an accident. The first book being that of Genesis and the last book being obviously Revelation. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, as you know, but it brings all the themes and the histories of the Bible into focus. It gives us a clarity. That's what Revelation is about. It's about an unveiling, a revealing. And so it brings a clarity. And consider these things in contrast to the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. Consider Genesis. It speaks in chapters 1 and 2 about the creation of heavens and earth. Contrast that to Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, which speaks about the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. How about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? It talks about the first Adam reigning on earth. And Revelation talks of the last Adam reigning in glory in chapter 21, verse 5. Consider Genesis and the creation of night and the seas in chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. Now contrast that to Revelation, where there is no more night and no more sea. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 25. Consider Genesis speaking of the bride brought to Adam in chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, and contrast that to Revelation, the bride prepared for Christ, chapter 19, verse 7. Genesis speaks of the tree of life in Eden, chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, verse 22. In Revelation, we have the tree of life in the new creation, chapter 22, verse 2. Genesis speaks about death and a curse, chapter 3, 17 and through 19 and verse 14 as well. Revelation speaks about no more curse, no more death or tears, chapter 22, verse 3. Genesis speaks of conflict between Christ and Satan in chapter 3, verse 15. And Revelation tells us Satan is doomed in chapter 20, verse 10. Genesis speaks of humanity driven from God's face in chapter 3, verse 23. In Revelation, we see God's face in glory. Chapter 22, verse 4. Revelation speaks of believers looking for a city in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. In Revelation, we talks about the holy city presented in glory. Chapter 21, verse 10. Genesis speaks, where is the Lamb? 22, verse 7. And in Revelation, it talks about the Lamb who reigns in verse chapter 22, verse 3. In Genesis, it speaks of Satan telling the first lie, chapter 3, verse 1. And in Revelation, we read, nothing impure enters into the city of God, chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation outlines God's progress for human history. What he began in the creation will be completed in the new creation. As we study this book, we should be encouraged. We should be inspired to serve and enabled to live clean lives that we might be ready when he returns. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find the purpose, the importance, and the attitude in which the book is to be read. The nature of the book is one that is revealed in two words. It is called a revelation or apocalypse, which literally means unveiling. Chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation removes the veil which obscures our understanding. It unravels the mystery. It makes the meaning plain. As we move through Revelation, we will find many mysteries made clear. Why evil persists and what the ultimate fate of it will be. The mystery of godliness will be unveiled. The book is called a prophecy, chapter 1, verse 3. This is a book that deals in predictions. It deals with people and events in the future. Powerful personalities are waiting to make their entrance on the stage of human events. Extraordinary circumstances are waiting to unfold as history moves toward its fateful consummation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The phrase, made it known, literally means signified. Jesus made his revelation known by signs and symbols. Revelation is a book of symbols. Symbols help to signify difficult concepts and to clarify things in our human thinking. The key to understanding Revelation is to realize that almost all of these symbols are used elsewhere in the Bible. If you try and read Revelation without any understanding of the rest of the Bible, you are doomed to confusion. We must use the rest of the Bible as a guide to interpret the symbols of Revelation. But who is the author of Revelation? At first glance, it might seem to be John, but this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. The author is God. The author of Revelation is God. Why did God the Father have to give this revelation to Jesus, his son? Matthew 24:36 gives us some insight into that. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew 24 and verse 26, we will look at 36. Matthew 24 verse 36 reads like this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So we see here that God is the Father and the author of Revelation. While on the earth, the time of these events was unknown even to Jesus. Since Jesus is risen and glorified, he obviously knows all the Father knows. So he knows now all these things. Jesus in turn revealed it to John by his angel. And obviously an ambassador or intermediary that he used on his behalf. Sometimes Christ himself conveyed the message. As we read through Revelation, you'll notice that from time to time. Sometimes it was an elder who conveyed the message. Other times, just a voice. The inspiring promise of chapter 1, verse 3 is about a blessing. It tells us, blessed are those who read. So it's important that we read this book. Blessed are those who hear. If you hear the words of this book, you will be blessed. And it also tells us this, take to heart, keep it, guard it, treasure it, practice it. I want to repeat that. Take this to your heart as we go through Revelation. Keep it there, guard it in your heart, treasure it in your heart, and practice it in your life. But what is the blessing? Well, it can best be described as comfort. It can also be thought as guidance and assurance in times of trouble, in times of confusion, in times of temptation and pressure and anti-Christian philosophies, which we are currently surrounded with. In the days that grow darker, as we draw near to the conclusion of history, we find these words to be most important. Very, very important. We will stop there for today. Try to keep these teachings at a minimum so it won't become taxing to too many. It gives you time to study and to pray over it and maybe review some of the text that's been mentioned. So let me end with a prayer. Father God, thank you for the prelude or the prologue into Revelation, speaking about who authored it and who it is about and who it is for. We thank you, Lord, that you preserved it for us. And we thank you, Lord, by your Spirit, you're revealing its truths to us even now. Thank you for these folks that will listen, maybe through this recording or in some other fashion, whatever it might be, that you be glorified in all those who would hear these words. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be at peace.